and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Valentine's Day. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Check it out. Speaking, here's a love letter already. Karen in Downers Grove, what Valentine's Day really means. It's only 2 more months till I get to see you, Hal, and John in Madison. I bought VIP tickets in October. Zoinks.
Whoa.
And it feels like forever until the day will finally arrive when I can participate in the meet and grope. Will it never get here? Oh, Karen, I know. I know the longing, the aching. For a meet and grope.
The aching in the loins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We were talking yesterday about, because I'm 1,000 years old.
Yes.
And I was thinking, even if I could find my interview with Whitney Houston from, I don't know, 1990.
Yeah.
It's on wax cylinder or something that can't really be played today.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm 1,000.
Right. Well, I had a bunch of people sending me eBay links to cart machines and all that. I'm like, guys, I was really just kidding. We have some place in this building where we can play any kind of media. Seriously. I don't need
probably
the
on the ninth floor. There is no ninth floor.
What? But, so this morning, Lisa made me this beautiful, on your Mac, movie.
You can do
with
that.
With pictures, yeah. Because the kids today.
It's called iMovie.
Because she's 17 years younger. She just booped like that. Now, made this beautiful, so there was a lot of crying before the show.
It's ridiculously easy, even for you, Stephanie. You could do
it. Right. But I've done it for people. I did it for my mom, for her 80th.
Right.
And it took me, like months, and I had to hire a TV editor, and I used the actual pictures.
Right.
That then you had to scan.
Uh-huh.
The music, you know, how much a television editor is an hour, it took months.
I just don't know where you stuck in the
Super
8
film
into the computer.
Happy Valentine's Day.
For that.
Good luck with that.
Oh, the kids today. Scamps, all of yous. All right. You know what I'm getting her? I'm going to go buy a second air cleaner today for my cat allergies.
Oh?
Because I'm realizing you need more than one.
Well, you have a huge house.
Oh,
so
I'm on for all 17 bedrooms.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
You
stop it with the palatialist.
Well, I mean,
it's not that. Okay.
It's not my one bedroom apartment. Let me just put it that way.
You can afford a one bedroom. I'm paying you too much. Back in that van down by the river. What the hell?
A van down by the river.
What do you think this is? Socialism here? Get back in the van. All right. Speaking of sexy liberal love filters.
Oh, Shay in the chat room says, nothing says I love you like a HEPA filter.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me, that's true. Ken in Madison. This is an idea. It's a sexy liberal idea. Chicago sexy liberal. A lot of people from Madison go, because Madison's been sold out for a long time, going to March 3rd, Chicago. My daughter, Shayna, and her boyfriend, Rob, will be attending your Chicago show and are excited out of their minds. Being your average three-job Occupy Wall Street protest cokesucker, Scott Walker, working stiff progressives, who spends his money wisely, I see this as a gift of exceptional value.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, it's a Valentine's Day gift to them, to me.
Aw.
Buy a sexy liberal ticket today, why not? Love you and the Moogs. Hope you don't mind the smell of grilled sausages wafting on stage in Chicago.
Who?
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
God, I love sausage. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think you've loved sausage since 1992.
I like grilled chicken sausage. Stop it. How do you know the exact year? That's weird.
Because you keep saying
we've been working together too long. If you know exactly the last time I saw sausage. Right. Oh, sausage for everybody.
Stephanie Miller, Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Thank you, Chicago!
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
Chicago, show me love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Woo-hoo! Get it. All right, speaking of love, wow, it's a really gay day.
Yes.
New Jersey State Senate on Monday passed a bill to recognize same-sex marriage.
Yep.
Making the first time state lawmakers officially endorsed the idea, despite the promise of a veto by the Governor Soros, Chris Christie, who will crush everybody's romantic dreams on Valentine's Day with his ginormous ass. Yeah, he thinks there should be a referendum. You know, put the minority votes back to a majority.
Yep.
Minority rights to a majority vote.
Unfortunately, at this point, they don't have a veto-proof majority, but they're close. So they can work on it.
I'm sorry. I just had, for some reason, a brief moment of Chris Christie naked, having to make love to Chris Christie.
I just think I'm going to barf.
Okay.
I pictured him coming home to the wife with an empty box of chocolates. Sorry, honey, I got hungry.
See, I got that visual. I don't think he's ever given his wife a full box of chocolates.
One. Oh, I finished that one off. Mm. Oh, that's good. Oh, nougat. Yeah.
Life likes a box. It's like a box of chocolates. Since you're married to me, then it's always an empty box.
You always know what you're going to get.
A heart-shaped box, that's it. With a bunch of wrappers inside.
Or at least they're all, like, half-tried. Like, yeah. I don't like that one.
No, I don't like that. What is that?
Except I don't think there are any that he doesn't like.
Who likes marzipan?
Yeah, I don't think there are any that he doesn't like. He probably, like, even the ones he doesn't like and puts back with all, like, saliva, he probably eats them again later.
Yeah.
So, that wasn't that bad.
He gets hungry.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
My blood sugar's getting low. I need more chocolate.
And Governor Christine Gregoire has signed a bill into law that legalizes gay marriage in Washington State, making it the nation's seventh to allow gay and lesbian couples to wed. And I say, rock on, sister! She is awesome. You know, I've met her.
Yep.
I did a speech up there to, I believe, Seattle Machinist Union, and she... it was hilarious. I'm standing there talking to a guy, a union guy. She comes up and she just starts chatting. She's like, she gets to him, hi, I'm Christine, and, you know, started talking about, you know... Just, and the guy suddenly, like, his face goes, he goes, you're the governor. She has no airs. She is, listen to her yesterday. She was visibly emotional as she signed legislation legalizing same-sex marriage in Washington, making it, as I said, the seventh state in the nation. Supporters cheered, thank you, as Senator Ed Murray, a sponsor of the measure, introduced Gregoire and cheered four more years, started erupting. Gregoire described the occasion as a very proud moment in her career. Governor Christine Gregoire yesterday.
I'm proud that our same-sex couples will no longer be treated as separate but equal. They will be equal in the great state of Washington.
Super. I'm feeling super.
It ain't a man's world. Their opponents are already prepping the fights against this, and gay people can't get married in Washington until June. That is if it sticks around.
Yes.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of June brides. Then.
Yes. As she signed the bill, by the way, at least one opponent of marriage equality yelled out, do not betray Christ! Do not betray Christ!
Christ didn't say a single word about gay marriages or gay people.
Are you filling in for the Ecclesiastes?
Yes, I am.
I was about to say
yes. That's one thing I've learned from John Fugelson.
Jesus never said anything about homes. Okay. Exactly. We have to be our own personal comedy
genius.
Yeah, like Friday.
Right.
All right. The crowd's cheers drowned him out, and Gregoire pronounced, it's signed! Mm-hmm. She said some great stuff. She said, most surely it's a proud day in the history of the legislature. It is a day as historians will mark as a milestone for equal rights in this state. We stood for equality and we did it together. I'm proud of who and what we are as a state. I'm proud that our same-sex couple will no longer be treated as separate but equal. They will be equal in the great state of Washington. I'm proud the children in our schools and neighborhoods will no longer have to wonder why their loving parents are considered somewhat different than other loving parents. I just thought it was some great stuff.
Yep.
I'm feeling super. How about you? I'm just saying.
I'm super. No. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me.
Whee.
Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
I bet you Marcus has a cute Valentine's hat today. And he bought a matching one for his dog. I'm just saying.
Well, he's lots of potential clients. Lots of barbarians who need to be disciplined.
He needs to open up a clinic in Washington State.
This is what a political geek I am. I already see, like, the, you know, 2012 Republican primary in this sort of hazy, nostalgic glow already. The look on Marcus's face when Michelle outed him about the doggy sunglasses. Just that... Paul Lindish. Bitch. Oh, no, you didn't, Miss Thing. You did not. Say it without shoving for accessories. Oh, God, I hate your ass face. Okay. You know, the Iowa corn dogs. Come on.
Oh. Wow.
Her just, wow, she was enthusiastic. Damn. She looks like she has not seen anything that shape.
In a long time.
Longer than me. Quite some time.
And Marcus was biting his.
Bite the day away.
Disciplined. Barbarian.
Wow. Michelle, no apparent gag reflex there.
No.
Hey, wow. Yikes.
Hello.
As I've often said, somewhere Linda Ludlay's going, what a slut. Ease up. Dear God.
And Marcus likes teeth. Who knew?
Okay. It's just a hazy, hazy glow. So what happens in New Jersey now? Yeah, the Senate voted 24-16 to legalize same-sex marriage. The House expected to approve the legislation, what's today? Thursday. Excuse me, Thursday. Of course, as I said, Chris Christie promised a veto. It would take 27 votes to override such a veto. So then what? What happens if they can't override the veto? What?
Then it doesn't become a law.
The governor, Soros, as I said, has crushed everyone's dreams.
Yes.
I will find the law and sit on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
The law is no match for my ginormous ass.
Why do I think no matter what he sits on, no matter how soft the surface, it sounds like he sat on a sack of hammers? Damn it, honey. Do I have to get you another lazy boy? I just bought you one last Valentine's Day. Oh,
what are those hammers doing underneath the floorboards?
I think that Mrs. Chris Christie has made more calls about replacement springs for lazy boys than any wife in the country. Oh, damn it.
It broke again!
I think maybe if you can buy those in bulk, like at Costco.
Buy a pallet of them.
Yeah, of the springs.
Yeah.
For the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 18...
Maybe he needs Dick Morris to come around and serve as a beanbag chair for the dress.
If he sat on Dick Morris,
It
would still make that sound. Get off me, you fat bastard.
Speaking of Dick Morris, he tells a joke coming up later on in Right Wing World.
Awesome, let's do it. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I know, you pointed me. Yes. That means I need to talk about things. All right. Representative Allison Schwartz coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about the president's budget, which is awesome.
Yep.
Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com, of course, and much more. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Up in where?
Up in here.
Here.
Where is up in here?
Well, what?
Stop
it
that
is
now.
Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Just trying to save you from yourself.
It's like catnip for me.
Uh-huh.
Lame ass white girl rap phrases. Well, what? 24 minutes after the hour.
No, you don't do it right.
1-800-STEP-12.
Y'all are going to make me lose my mind up in here.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Losing my up in here. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Andrea in Palm Beach. Hello, Andrea. Welcome.
Hey, what?
What? What? What?
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Luke.
You too.
I'm just wondering, Mama, did you finally settle on for at least a Valentine Powerpuff Girls or My Little Pony?
That's a joke about how young my girlfriend is and how old Mama is. Okay, Andrea, that's very cute. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Mm-hmm. What did you settle on?
David in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama. Two quick things. First of all, my new and improved partner is also 17 years younger than me.
Awesome.
So yes, it's remarkable how he massages my aching joints. But anyway...
Is that a euphemism for something?
That's what the kids are calling it. Massage daddy's aching joints.
I think Chris has a dirty mind today. I don't know. But anyway, I heard something this morning about the origins of Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That back in whatever time, it was a pagan holiday where young men would run naked through the woods and the village with strips of goat hide and whip the women in the village to make them more fertile. And the church decided this was not the way to.
It was starting. It was sounding like a Marcus Bachman fantasy there for a moment. Young boys running through the woods naked in Minnesota.
Yeah,
what?
It sounds a bit like the eagle on a Saturday night, but.
Woohoo!
But yes, that was the origins of it, and so the church decided that was not a good idea, so they should make it a little bit more pure. So thus we have Valentine's Day.
All right. Well, thank you for that beautiful story.
You're very welcome.
So, now there's a naked little angel shooting arrows at you.
What?
He introduced me to his partner, I think, at a Blue State Mall in Minneapolis.
His former partner.
He said, this is my significant father, which apparently...
well, that might have told you something right there.
Turned out to be true. Thought it was a little scampy joke, but no.
No.
Computer says no.
All right, speaking of love, Santorum. Wow, he has really come from behind. This is quite a surge. This is almost like a Santorum explosion.
It's a gusher.
Yeah, right? Look out. Yikes. Santorum in them there hills.
And everywhere else.
Yikes. He leads a new national poll by 15 points. Wow. What the?
Yeah.
Well, what?
That's exactly what Obama said.
Exactly.
What?
What? Senator Rick Santorum is up 15 points in the latest public policy. I know you always say national polls don't matter, but I'm just saying.
No.
Mittens. Meow. Meow. It's a primary, or it's a survey, of usual Republican primary voters, which that may be an oxymoron in this particular.
They're most unusual.
Oh, they're very unusual. His Rick Santorum's arc is what they're calling it now, because I think they're afraid to call it a surge. Is one of the undertold stories of the 2012 Republican primary. He began to get some traction with a late surge. There it is, the first surge.
If you have an arc of Santorum, something's gone horribly wrong.
But sometimes there's a little surge, but it's not the real thing. It's not and then there's a later. So that was just the mini surge that, kind of faked us all out. And now we're in a real Santorum explosion.
Arc.
Yes.
Second.
We're surfing an arc
Saint
of Santorum.
Louis arch of Santorum.
As the pollster notes, Santorum is absolutely killing it with, quote, very conservative voters at 53% to 20% for Gingrich and 15% for Romney.
Good luck. In the general.
Yeah,
that's
good luck getting independence with that.
That's what I'm saying. Go, Frothy. Go, Frothy. It's your birthday. You know what I think I should do at his next rally? I should fly a very small plane over by with a little banner. With a frothy banner. Because I'm a girl, so I'm only capable of flying a very small plane. A little teeny petite feminine plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much focus on how homophobic and racist he's been. I had no idea how sexist he was.
Yeah.
Wow. He's really got the Republican trifecta this year. He is the three legs of the stool, the Reagan stool, as his Foster Freeze said. He's the stooliest.
Yeah.
Santorum is. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. I said to get that all out of my system.
Yeah,
now
okay,
I'm fine.
So to speak. Yeah, before we have Allison Schwartz on.
All right, that has passed. And I'm...
May the Schwartz be with you.
The Schwartz will be with us in a moment on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If I ever take up roller derby, what do you think my name should be? Bruisin' B. Anthony, Alicia Sleaze, or Cohag?
How about Harlot O'Scara?
Oh, that's genius.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Stephanie, how are you? It's been a while. Good to be with you.
I know. Good to be with you, too. I wanted to talk to you because, the president obviously just unveiled his budget, which I love. really shockingly, I'm sure, for you and me. The Republicans do not. But, this strikes me as, when you look at the analysis over the years, I mean, the problem is so clear that we are the rich are not paying their fair share. That's how we got to this place. So the president's budget, let's talk about it, right? It enacts the Buffett rule, right? And it puts billions into rebuilding the nation's infrastructure and creating jobs. Tell me your first take.
Yeah, well, okay. The president has been very clear about this. His budget is a very strong one. It basically says, look, we do have a deficit. We have to figure out how to get to balance. And the only way we're going to do that is by growing the economy, by making the right investments from education and basic research to innovative growth industries and making the kind of necessary investments that our competitors are making. And if we don't make them, we're going to fall behind. But also, we just have to move forward in a balanced way and asking our wealthiest Americans to pay a little bit more.
Well, I mean, and I just wonder, do the Republicans ever respond when you know, you can quantitatively prove this? You can say we the rich are paying historically low taxes, that obviously revenue is our problem. They just seem, to a person, unwilling to even talk about that.
Yeah, the Republicans have been pretty clear about this, is that they have spent a year protecting the wealthiest, really, and not just the wealthiest, the 1%. I mean, it really is, you can almost name the number of people who make, multi-millions of dollars, more than all the rest of us. And, that's what they've been doing. And they believe that the answer to everything is to cut government.
Well,
and to reduce taxes for the wealthy. So it's an economic ideology, I would call it that, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked for more than a decade, otherwise we wouldn't be in this mess. The recession we're just going out of, and the huge deficit that we actually are dealing with.
Right. Well, I mean, I thought it was instructive. I guess he's the front runner, Mitt Romney. What day is it? What time is it? But delegate count? I guess he's still the front runner. I don't know. But, he said this week President Obama will release a budget that won't take any meaningful steps towards solving our entitlement crisis. First of all, it always drives me insane when they call it entitlement. We're entitled to it because we paid into it. I mean, they make it sound like this is a handout. And as I keep saying over and over again, it is very clear that if the rich pay their fair share, we don't have to punch holes in the safety net, right?
Right. I think it's, this Medicare and Social Security, these are not even safety nets. These are, this is a promise we have made to seniors in this country. And you're right, they've paid into to Medicare. All of us do. It comes out of our paychecks. And Americans do pay into Medicare and all the way up the income scale, which is a good thing. Now, the president has also said, and we have taken very strong action on this, is that there are high costs in healthcare, and we should be doing more to make sure we get the best value for our dollars. And we've not been doing as good a job at that, which is one of the parts of the healthcare law that we implemented, which is how can we pay physicians and hospitals and all providers in a way that incentivizes greater quality, better healthcare, particularly for those with chronic diseases, and to save money. So reducing the cost of healthcare for all Americans while meeting the promise to our seniors and to our future seniors is really the right question to be asking, rather than what the Republicans keep saying is, look, you just got to cut things that they think people don't deserve to get.
Yeah, well, I think, as the president keeps saying, we can't cut our way to recovery. I thought Think Progress did a good analysis of the budget. He said economists estimated in 2011 the U.S. needed $2 trillion in immediate investments just to bring its infrastructure up to date. And with borrowing costs so low, the nation's unemployment rate still high, such investments would allow the country to fix its crumbling roads and bridges while also putting unemployed Americans back to work. President Obama attempting to take advantage of that opportunity by releasing a budget that takes billions of dollars in war savings and pours them into infrastructure investments and job creation programs. It seems to me his priorities are exactly right. And they're exactly in line with what the American people wanted, right? Wanted out of this wars, which is what he's doing, and want us to create jobs. So what is the Republicans' argument against that?
Well, I will say, first of all, we should remind ourselves of how much, the way the president has actually met his commitment on getting us out of Iraq, drawing down troops from combat troops from Afghanistan, getting bin Laden. I mean, what the president has done to keep us safer in this country and in this world is remarkable, and we should acknowledge that. And certainly being able to bring our troops home is something that many of us are very, very proud of, and being able to bring them home sooner and save those war costs is obviously something that is very important to many of us. And
right,
the work is a good thing.
Right.
We put those dollars to work here in America to put people to work. And as anyone knows who steps outside their home and walks on our roads knows that it takes some dollars to keep our roads and bridges and highways not just maintained, which is the basic element, but, you know, we should be thinking big vision here. Should we be doing light rail, you know, building, you know, some of these new kinds of transit systems, particularly in places like I represent in urban and suburban Philadelphia. We have a great transit system, but there's huge backlog on you know, maintenance, and also visions for how we can expand it and help protect the environment, help move people back and forth around the suburbs and in and out of the cities in a much safer and better way. And,
right. And
know,
frankly,
over time.
You know, Congresswoman, this is what the president ran on, getting us out of these wars, you know, realigning our priorities. He's proposing using half the money from ending America's two wars to subsidize investment in infrastructure. You know, again, improving, you know, this is going to help job creation, transportation, you know, and think progress further. You know, just the point we made, they write, the GOP, meanwhile, continues to tout budgets that force radical spending cuts, jeopardizing the nation's economic recovery, putting America on a path that economists say increases the likelihood of yet another recession. And here we are left in a political year, Congresswoman, going, are they doing this on purpose? And the answer keeps appearing to be yes. That, you know what I mean? That they hopefully are praying for a downturn in the economy so it hurts the president's reelection chances.
Well, let's hope that's not true, but it is online here what you're saying, and it sometimes makes you wonder as well, but what their real goal here is. But let's also be clear about what the president's budget does, is that the president, and I agree with him on this, that the national debt is serious. We've taken some very serious steps to cut spending on the federal level, and that includes really spending across the board. It includes defense. It includes non-defense discretionary spending. It's looking at what we do with public, you know, through federal tax dollars. Are they being spent well? Are there programs that don't work that we can eliminate? Are there ways for us to be more efficient? Is there fraud or waste out there? Let's get rid of it. And that, I agree with all that. The president's made a commitment in this 10-year window to cut $4 trillion. But at the same time, making the investments that we need to continue to grow our economy. And, you know, we really have to do both. So I feel pretty strongly about the fact that we can't ignore the deficit, that we ought to try and get to balance. But again, we need a balanced approach to get there. It's
Congresswoman, the president yesterday talked about the payroll tax cut extension. Take a listen.
Congress needs to pass an extension of the payroll tax cut and unemployment insurance without drama, and without delay, and without linking it to some other ideological side issues. We've been through this before, remember? We've seen this movie. We don't need to see it again. The time for self-inflicted wounds to our economy has to be over.
Yeah, we were just saying in here, Congressman, it's like Groundhog Day.
Right.
Again, like, here we go again. So where are we at with this? Where are we at with our latest hostage crisis with the Republicans?
Yeah, well, you know, I am on this conference committee, so this time I'm really right in the midst of this. And, you know, there's always a point in these conference committees where you're like, all right, one side offers one, the other side offers the other, then you try and get to where you can compromise on it. And I actually think there is a way forward on this. The Republicans are now saying that they don't really want to deal with Medicare payments and making sure that seniors have access to their doctors right now. They don't really want to deal with the issue of unemployment compensation, how to make sure that hardworking Americans who are looking for jobs, are able to stay in their homes and meet some of their basic responsibilities while looking for work. And really the best answer there, of course, is they're finding a job. But now they're saying they want to do this payroll tax cut, which I support very, very strongly. That 2% cut, you know, payroll taxes for 160 million Americans is important to middle-class America, important to almost everyone in this country. And now they're saying, okay, we won't pay for it because we can't decide. Now, they've always wanted, they just added $100 billion to the deficit. Last week they didn't want to do that. So, I mean,
right.
Is this a game they're playing? You know, or is this going to really move us forward in a way that gets it done? And, you know, to say as Democrats, we will be faced this week of how do we press the Republicans to really work with us to get this done and not just put up a vote that really has to be passed by Democrats because Republicans don't even like this payroll tax.
Yep.
But, you know,
Good luck with that. Before you go, I have to ask you, being from Pennsylvania, the state that fired Rick Santorum, what do you think about the prospect that he could actually be the Republican nominee this year?
Well, I guess Pennsylvanians are a little I just don't even know what to make of this. You know, I mean, they did reject Rick Santorum years ago, and
where did he even get the idea that hey, Bob Casey kicked my butt by about 30 points. I think I should be president.
And you know, it just goes to show that this is, you know, he plays to the very extreme conservative right wing part of the Republican Party, and I think it goes to show how weak Mitt Romney's support is that they keep looking for someone else. And
yep.
Rick Santorum is not going to be good for this country, and I don't even think it's going to be good for the Republicans.
Awesome. It's a great year for us. All right, Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania, thanks as always for your time.
All right, sure.
Bye-bye. All right, talk to you soon. All right, 45 minutes. Yeah, she's chuckling.
Yeah.
She's chuckling warmly over Frothy, the prospect of a Frothy candidacy.
Thank you for not calling him Frothy in front of her.
45 minutes. I know the rules. We just pray that the guests aren't listening to the rest of the show.
Exactly.
So when we announce someone, we're like, unless they were listening. And then, no. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP.
I think that kid's got a good chance to make it in the industry.
It was nice that Grammys gave him a shot like that to perform. Yeah. That was nice. It was like, you know, the open mic night session. That was nice.
You know what, though? Paul McCartney needs to be added to the list of men who look like old lesbians.
I think so. Mm. I do.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And it sounds like he's talking in slow motion these days. Really.
I speak as someone, a fan of old lesbians.
Well, that's someone.
Linda in Milwaukee. It's Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Linda in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi,
yes,
Linda.
Stephanie. Hello. How are you?
I'm an old lesbian. What?
Well, all I wanted to say was that what's happening is what happened in the 2004 elections with John Kerry. They manipulated this gay couple to go and apply for their marriage license right before, like 5 or 6 months right before the elections, when the gay marriage issue was not even being discussed for a long time. Suddenly it became blown up. Fox News and the right-wing media just exploited the whole thing in order to mobilize the right and the Christian, you know, right wing.
Yeah. But Linda, I think we've come a long way since then.
Yeah, but, you know, the strange thing is that all of a sudden this gay couple out of nowhere did this. And I've always said that they've been manipulated, and they'll probably do it again, even with some other issue, whether it is, you know, stem cell or abortion or some of those special issues they like to bring up right before an election, the cultural issues. Mm-hmm. They'll manipulate somebody.
Well, yeah, Linda, it's just I think we've...
manipulate.
Right, but if you look at polling, Linda, I think we've come so far on that score. I mean, we are at a time when there is majority support for marriage equality in America. So you know what I'm saying? And I also think, you know, this contraception, I mean, some Republican women senators are breaking ranks with their parties coming out in favor of Obama's contraception rule. I mean, this party has moved so far to the right. I just think they're out of step with most Americans on just about every issue.
All I'm saying is that we always fall into something. They always manipulate somebody to do something. It doesn't have to be, you know, gay marriage. It'll probably be something else. But don't be surprised if 5 or 6 months before the elections, they'll you know, get some fools to do something that they will just blow out of proportion in order to mobilize the right.
Yeah, well, you know, judging by their primary.
But
that's not why
John Kerry lost. It was systematic stealing of the votes in Ohio, computer manipulation of.
Well, I don't know if that was it totally, but.
Well, that was a very large part of it, where the votes suddenly flipped, you know, exactly the opposite of what the exit polls are saying.
Yeah.
From 37.
John Conyers' book, What Went Wrong in Ohio. Interesting reading. Yeah. Just saying. Buddy in Columbus knows from that he was ground zero.
Yep.
Don't remind me of it. I still wake up screaming in the middle of the night. I mean, I was literally with Kerry people, and we just saw the vote slip.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one person put his head down, started crying.
Yeah.
I nearly destroyed Stephanie's TV because I threw a magazine at it.
Yes.
Because I told him that's what was going to happen.
And by the way, buddy, let me just say the fact that Jim Ward is still here, that's right when plasma TVs just came out
and
got one.
$10,000.
Yeah. So, you know I love Jim. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was like, don't throw. Oh, no, not a plasma. Okay.
Hey, Mama. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for the picture of the puppy. He sent me a nice love note yesterday. He said, hey, I'm watching you stream. You look like... Here's a picture of a puppy.
Aw.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah. Hey, Mama, no, I think you and Lisa should get married. You guys look so in love and so happy. And seriously, and have a kid because you'd be such a positive
no.
role
well,
model.
Well, it's
no,
really
no,
more like
no,
elder.
No,
it's really
no,
more
no.
like elder care for her. But thank you, buddy.
Please don't encourage them to have kids. Please don't.
No. Oh, come on. It'd be a positive role model. People would see them say there's mother and child and grandma.
You know what? You're a bastard person. I knew that he was going for another age joke, but you know, the first one is just like a sucker punch, like a little, like
multi-generational household.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's like an Asian household.
Gina. Gina in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
If we go out to dinner tonight, it'll be just you and your daughter for dinner. Shut up! Okay. Hi, Gina.
Hi. I was just thinking about with the budget, Grover Norquist, besides the fact that they, you know, he said he couldn't care less who gets president as long as he can sign his name. But if Grover Norquist had been around when the founding fathers were starting this country, we would still be 13 states. I mean, the guy doesn't want it, it's insane. I mean, every time we have increased the size of government, you know, like the Louisiana Purchase, that worked out pretty well for us. And, you know, Transcontinental Railroad, the Homestead Act.
You're a crazy socialist. I can smell it from here, Gina.
But it's like, what is wrong with government? It does some really great things.
Well,
anyway.
Yes, when it's run by people that actually believe in it, yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it's Valentine's Day. I'm going to read, I guess, the quote from my future husband. You ready? Jim, hello. Look alive.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Sorry. You don't pay attention to me, do you?
What? Were you talking?
Okay. Who said, Obama didn't remake Washington, but his first 2 years stand as one of the most successful legislative periods in modern history. Among other achievements, he has saved the economy from depression, passed universal health care, and reformed Wall Street. Who said that?
Hermann Göring.
No. Ryan Lizza in The New Yorker.
Ah.
Mm. He's with
and
The New Yorker.
The New You screwed that joke up. Okay, who's... Who said, so when are President Obama's critics...
Yes.
People like Paul Krugman and Mitt Romney going to offer President Obama an apology. Both have often loudly predicted he made the economy worse and was putting America on the wrong economic path. Both are being proved wrong by the economic comeback we are in. I mentioned them not to... not to pick on Krugman, whom I respect. President Obama is blah blah blah. Is going to have the last laugh on his critics, no matter what ideological spectrum they fall from. President Obama is succeeding in spite of the fact that he's been up against the Republican Party, willing to destroy the economy in order to destroy him. Who said that?
Rush Limbaugh.
Wow, you are so bad at this today. No, this is that's Frank Schaefer. He was previously quoting Ryan Lizza, who are both on my future husband. Who said the left and right have united in predicting President Obama's failure and even seeming to root for it? Jim. If nothing else to prove...
No.
I'm just adding that. If nothing else to prove they were right, so will the sky is falling prophets of the doom on the left and the right, who've made it a national pastime to predict the failure of the Obama presidency, start to climb down now from their dire predictions or falling flat regarding the economy that Obama did not ruin and wars ending that Obama did not start? The wars are ending, the economy's coming back, good for the country, bad for the doom pundits of the left and right. Who said that?
Benito Mussolini.
No!
Spectacularly wrong.
No, spectacularly wrong. Blogger Frank Schaefer with a good President Obama will be vindicated. Another fabulous piece.
Schaefer, barely know her.
Happy Valentine's Day, Frank, future husband. Stupid mook. 58 minutes after the hour. We got Right Wing World, we got Charlie Pierce, don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeehaw! Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Speaking of sexy liberal love, why, it's Valentine's Day. What better gift for the sexy liberal in your life? Oh, Roland says, Chris, maybe you can quickly explain to listeners how easy it is to gift an album on iTunes or Amazon. It's incredibly easy.
It is. Just go to gift an album section.
There you go.
iTunes.
There you go. It's like magic.
Wasn't prepared
you
for that.
You can get the physical CD on sexyliberal.com. And tickets, of course, the best gift. Check the Sexy Liberal schedule.
Yes. If you go to the iTunes store in iTunes, on the right-hand side, you will see Buy iTunes Gifts. And that's how you can gift the Sexy Liberal album to someone you love.
Also, Sexy Liberal merch. What? There's an idea. And tickets. Up next, February 25th, is Phoenix. 12 tickets were released to the box office. They were sold in 2 minutes. I wouldn't mention it. It's like we're rubbing it in. Wasn't supposed to read that part.
Yeah.
Well, there are some few tickets left for March 3rd in Chicago and March 31st in Albuquerque. Madison after that sold out, so I probably wasn't supposed to mention that either.
You know what arrived in the mail yesterday?
What?
My Sexy Liberal t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it because I don't get free stuff.
No, you don't.
And it's beautiful.
Why, thank you. Why, looky here, it's another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors, Joe in Oklahoma. Mama, my wife just got her Sherry's Berries yesterday morning for an early Valentine's Day present. Naturally, she loved them. Even texted me a picture. Let me just say, with my best Donald Trump impersonation, they're huge.
Huge
berries. They look delicious. I can't wait to try one when I get home. Thanks for the promo code. Love you, Mama.
I'm not sure they're all going to be there when we get home.
Yeah, Jim speculated earlier. I think it's true. Governor Chris Christie, who's going to crush gay people's dreams with his ginormous ass in New Jersey after the legislature, because he's going to veto. He's going to veto marriage equality. We don't think his wife has ever received a full box of chocolates.
Here's the high-shaped box with some paper wrappers in it. Sorry. I got hungry.
And some of my spittle.
Ew.
Happy Valentine's Day, honey.
You can keep the marzipan, though. Who likes marzipan?
What is that?
And the cherry cordials. Blah.
Nothing cordial about those cherries.
No.
They're not cordial. You too.
No,
that's
they're not cordial.
That's a bad surprise. That's a ooh.
Yeah. And it's not like you can put that back because, you know, once it's you bite into it, it runs all over the place.
Yeah.
No.
Chris in Yankton writes, a lot of people sent me this. You had mentioned this yesterday. And I have gone back to my right-wing internet stuff. It's the stinky bathroom of the internet. Do not go in there. Do not. Yeah, Chris was the first one that gave me a heads up. Digby has a post about how Whitney Houston's death has unleashed a torrent of racist comments at Fox News.
God.
Racial slurs apparently deliberately misspelled, so they'll elude the spell checker. Right. A nice audience Fox has.
Okay.
And sadly, I opened the link that he sent me. And I believe the last post was, too bad it wasn't the monkey in the White House.
You know, they should just make their logo a swastika, Fox News.
Yeah.
I think that, you know.
Yeah,
their listeners would appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't believe they approve all of all of that.
Yeah, that's a lot of cheering, a lot of jubilation, I guess. A lot of N words. That's nice audience. Very nice. All right, let's dive. Wow. Okay, I just looked at what's up first in right wing world. Speaking of Fox News. Wow.
Liz Trotta is I can't say what I
Liz
said.
Liz Trotta. What?
Yeah, I already saw that headline. Fox pundit says women in the military should expect to be raped.
Sure.
Okay.
Bitch had it coming defense. Mm. But,
Liz Trotta. Uh-huh.
The sexual abuse report says that there's been, since 2006, a 64% increase in violent sexual assaults. Now, what do they expect?
What they expect,
these people are in close contact.
Mm.
The whole airing of this issue has never been done by Congress. It's strictly been a question of pressure from the feminists.
Mm.
So you have this whole bureaucracy upon bureaucracy being built up with all kinds of levels of people to support women in the military who are now being raped too much.
Too much.
Raped too much.
Apparently there's a correct amount.
Yeah.
It's too much now, but there would be some sort of correct amount of rape?
Yeah.
Yes. And she was going to tell you exactly what that level was. Ironically, her name sounds like Liz Estrada, who was, you know, in the Aristophanes play, who persuades women of Greece to withhold sexual privileges from their husbands to stop the Peloponnesian War.
I didn't know Liz Estrada was still alive.
Yeah. Mm. So she thinks that those harlots should have kept their knees closed.
Mm-hmm.
Had it coming. And I want to ask Rick Santorum's daughter, why the long face? But never mind.
Pardon me? Okay. Trotta, she said the issue is having women once more, the feminist going, wanting to be warriors and victims at the same time.
Huh?
So apparently there's not only a correct amount of rape, but women want it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do they expect?
Yeah. That's what she cited, this violent sex. This guy that called yesterday, which you called, you know, bull.
I called BS on. Yeah.
I think was a right winger. He was a Trotta fan, I think.
Yeah, I think so,
because
too.
Because he was, I'm a liberal in the military, but you can't expect men to control themselves. It's ridiculous.
I expect there is some consensual hanky-panky going on.
Liberals don't really call progressive talk shows and announce first thing, I'm a liberal. Yeah, that just doesn't happen.
He was trying to be feminist. It's not the women. That's not the problem. It's in men. You can't expect them to possibly
control themselves.
Yes.
I should teach a class
by the way,
to these companies how to do this.
The new rules the Pentagon announced easing the ban.
I just stumbled on your show.
Easing the ban on women serving in combat. The announcement actually formalizes military practices that were already taking place, which a lot of our callers in the military said.
Right.
They're like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. There's been women serving, you know.
Right.
Not in hand-to-hand combat on the front line, but I mean, anyway.
These women were asking for it. They might as well have been bent over a pinball machine.
Sure, exactly. Jukebox, something. Pool table. What was it?
It was a pinball machine in The Accused.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
I knew we were going for the same movie reference.
That's it.
Oh,
which could never happen today because there are no more pinball
tables.
No.
Michael in foosball.
Yeah.
Ow. Michael in New York. Ow. Stop paddling me with that little man. Michael in New York.
Hey there, sexy liberal mama.
Hello.
Happy Valentine's.
Thank you. You too.
Very much. Thank you.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's amazing how Governor Chris Christie and many of these Republicans take an oath to abide by the Constitution, which includes respecting equal rights, respecting the rights of others, and respecting the right to privacy. Yes, I'm Catholic, and yes, I'm heterosexual, but who am I to be prying on the privacy of what goes on behind closed doors as long as no one's hurting anybody? But then again, what do you expect from these Republicans, especially one that resembles Boss Hawk?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. They have no consistency at all.
Right.
As we mentioned, in this contraception fight, Viagra, that's fine.
Frankly, we're consistently inconsistent.
That's sacred,
the
relationship between a man and his doctor. The government getting up all in that business. Okay. That was a little feminist frenzy I just had there.
Are you okay there?
Yes, I'm fine now.
You must be one of those feminists that Liz Trott is talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Hmm?
Oh, boy. Okay. Wayne LaPierre, the NRA president.
Yeah.
If you believe in freedom, and if you're as sick and tired of all the lies and schemes and Obama failures as I am, join us and stand up in this great fight.
To do what exactly?
If you don't remember anything else I say today, write this down. This is the most dangerous election in our lifetimes. If Obama wins, we'll go to our grave mourning the freedom that will be lost.
Oh, for the love of God, hyperbole much?
He says that every 4 years. I think Progress had a list of in the past, I don't know, 15 years, every time he said that exact same thing.
Yes, and the President Jim has said, what about guns? In his presidency?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
Much.
Except that,
nothing.
You know, because he supports the sex
like Wayne LaPierre cling to their guns, but, you know.
Yeah.
Which is true. The president supports the Second Amendment because he's a constitutional scholar.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Wow, it's always just so scary, isn't it? It's just...
The president is going to take your guns away. He's
going to
personally walk into your house and take your guns.
If you like flowers and poppies... Don't vote for... What? There's just nothing...
Yeah, there was nothing.
Who doesn't like freedom? What does that mean? Okay.
You hate freedom! It was red meat for CPAC.
Yeah.
They respond well to that.
Speaking of feminists, Rush Limbaugh.
The NARAL, Pro-Choice America, this is the NAGS, formerly known as the National Abortion Rights Action League.
Mm-hmm.
They are running radio ads in... Colorado, Florida, Virginia, and Wisconsin, thanking Obama for requiring private insurers to provide free coverage of contraception and abortion drugs. The NARAL gang, all over the Obama agenda of giving free stuff to people.
You know who else is?
First of all, if you want to prevent abortions, birth control is what you want.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, guess who else is? Republican Senators Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins.
Yeah, Republicans.
Guess what's said nags?
Nags and harlots.
Feminists.
While, yeah, did you see this? While Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McLiplis, Yertl, has pledged to fight the Obama administration's modified regulation, which even the Catholic League cheered. What?
Well, the Catholic League's never happy with anything.
No, I mean the Catholic,
bishops.
Not the... The other Catholic group.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Most people are think this is a very reasonable compromise.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. To offer contraception coverage without additional cost, the revised rule appears to have won over two of the five Republican women senators, Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins, both of whom have sponsored legislation requiring insurers to offer contraception benefits in all health plans, are in favor of the new compromise, which would allow religiously affiliated colleges, universities, hospitals to avoid providing birth control. Their employees would still receive contraceptive coverage at no cost, sharing directly from the insurer. Only Yertl could find a reason not to like that, just because the president is for it.
Whatever it is, I'm against it, unless it involves feeding me lettuce.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle!
You
yes.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious, son.
Oh, boy. I'm just saying, there's birth control. Just picture, having sex with
your
dad.
Oh, no!
Just those glass, are his eyes that big? Imagine how big they look if he's on top of you.
Come here, baby. Daddy wants some.
Well, it'd be slow and steady.
Sure. Somebody would win
slow
the race.
Slow and steady.
I think, you know what? If you are, I might want it to go faster with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just to get it over with. You don't want to extend that.
No.
I got it.
Hurry up with your business.
Guy.
Okay. Someplace. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Oh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I'm so happy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Let's go to Steve in Boston. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Steph. I'm a first-time caller. I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, what really kills me about these Republicans is their inconsistency and their basic dishonesty. You hear Rick Santorum on one side of his mouth talking about this contraceptive issue and how the government is making a big-ish overreach into everybody's personal life and that we need to stop it. But on the other side of his mouth, he needs the government to control who you love, to tell you who you can marry, to tell you if you should have children and how many you should have, if you should be allowed to adopt children. The other side of his mouth, nobody calls her on it. Nobody says, Rick, don't you recognize this as a government overreach that you're sticking your nose in people's personal business?
Yeah, no,
that's
exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He literally went on record and said...
thing, Steph, I've been dying to say.
Yeah.
Alan Simpson, who came out with the statement about 300 million Americans sucking on the tit of the American government. Alan Simpson is collecting a $63,000 a year pension. Who's sucking on the bigger tit?
That's right. Okay. All right.
All right. That's enough of that.
All right. That's enough.
Teat. I think it's a teat.
Teat. He meant teat.
Well, so,
as in farm, farm folk.
Right.
Sure.
So that's
know what we're talking about.
Different then.
Okay. Everyone on Ustream saw us wince.
Yeah. then we decided, we'll let it go.
We become so proper
every
now and again, don't we? Mary Beth in Connecticut. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks. First, can I be the official Pearl Jam-loving barn mom of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Whoa.
We needed one of those.
Very cool.
Well, okay, then.
Jeremy Spoken plays today.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Sorry. They're a little moist.
My older daughter's in high school, so we're just starting the college search right now. And I didn't realize, even though we're from Connecticut and UConn plays them all the time, Georgetown is a Catholic institution.
Right.
Georgetown.
Yeah.
So I would hope that a university of that caliber would provide birth control coverage for the women who work there.
Right.
And I also hope that if they are really in keeping with their Catholic tenets, that they get rid of all meat during Lent at every one of their cafeterias.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, let's
a little consistency,
well,
please.
Didn't Vatican II get rid of that in the late 60s?
No, that was Meat on Friday.
Oh, okay.
I think some people could still technically be in limbo or purgatory, which I don't remember if that's different.
How can you go, right?
If you had meat on Friday. I don't know where those people are. They're
Friday,
somewhere bad.
Salad on Saturday.
Okay.
Oh, God, no.
Okay. Stuart Varney on Fox and Friends to continue Right Wing World.
That is a sop to the unions. $476 billion for infrastructure. It will be built with union labor to union scale.
Oh, no.
$60 billion for teachers and first responders. That essentially goes towards the teachers and their union.
Keep it in
No.
And as an American, I'm appalled that they're giving money to unions.
They're not giving money to unions.
Simply
they're giving money to people in unions to do jobs,
work.
To build things, to improve our infrastructure, which is sorely lacking.
Infrastructure.
Yes.
Communist plot, I say.
God.
And who was it that's saying that right now is probably the best time to invest in infrastructure?
Because low
interest rates are so low.
It's very smart.
Yes.
Bill O'Reilly.
It's the best time to shut up.
Thanks, Stuart.
You're not a real American.
Unlike me.
All right.
I like baseball and hot dogs.
All right, Bill O'Reilly.
Talking Points believes the American economic machine is still strong, unlike Greece. But there is no question President Obama's big spending policies are putting our currency, the dollar, at grave risk. If the dollar collapses, personal assets, money in the bank, investments, housing, all of that, it's going to be put in jeopardy.
All of that.
Again, I go back to the facts. America will soon owe more than $16 trillion. Mr. Obama's not making drastic spending cuts. Does that sound like a good policy to you?
Yes.
Yes. In fact,
yes.
Investing in the economy.
And economists agree.
Yes.
All right, let's close.
Putting people to work, yes.
Let's close with a Dick Morris joke.
Oh.
I had a great joke the other day. A liberal, a moderate, and a conservative walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hi, Mitt." You done? You cracking yourself up? All right. Okay, now. That was pretty good.
You missed the laughter. I mean, the laughter in there was so wheezy. It was.
I know, Jim. You were doing your own wheezy laughter over the actual wheezy laughter. We'll hear it again when we come back. All right. Yeah, that was. He really is. He's doing Muttley.
Yeah.
He sounds like my eggs coming out.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like your delusion.
Stephanie Miller.
Most people would say, I lost, I give up. But you just keep trying. You're like the Dominican Republic, always killing the guy in charge and saying, this new guy's going to get it right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. We have to hear this, and it's pure unadulterated beauty again.
Yes.
This is Dick Morris telling a joke. He can't tell a joke because he's too wheezy and raspy. He's gonna choke on his own spit.
Yeah, and when he laughs, seriously, you see his teeth. You could stick like a stack of nickels in between all of them.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. Ooh, can you imagine sitting next to it just all phlegmy and... Well, because he gets winded by a run-on sentence. So a joke is just entirely beyond his capability.
All right, here we go.
I had a great joke the other day. A liberal, a moderate, and a conservative walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hi, Mitt."
You done? You cracking yourself up? All right.
Okay, now...
That was pretty good.
Huh. Okay, that was, first of all, and not even his joke. It was Foster Freeze's joke from
CPAC.
Well,
I'm sure it wasn't even Foster Freeze's joke.
No,
I'm sure he heard
whoever's.
That in the hallway somewhere.
Yes, yeah. That nearly killed Dick Morris.
I know. Damn it.
He almost coughed up a lung there.
And compared to Dennis Miller, that was relatively funny. So I'm just
Okay.
Okay. All right. Oh, boy. It's Tuesday, everybody. Speaking of real funny, there's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
It's comedy, the real kind. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
I survived CPAC. I did.
Oh, you were there?
Oh, God.
I was there for the first day, but yes.
Do tell.
I got to watch the parade of also-rans.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Were you
Herman
there?
Herman was there. Michelle was there. Rick was there.
Oh, boy.
It was crazy.
Wow. Oh, by the way, the little dumber boy says he might run again. He had so much fun the first time.
I saw that. He's looking forward to 2016. He's going to get right this time.
Sure. Yeah, no more oops for him.
Oops.
I'm sure he'll announce the opening of the launch of his exploratory committee in 2017.
Did you were you there for Mitt Romney's I was a severely conservative governor moment?
I was only there for Thursday. Then I had to go do another story in another part of the country. But right. I did listen to Mitt talk about what a severe conservative he is.
Yeah. Did you, it's good you weren't there because you would have done the horse laugh heard throughout the room.
Well, I actually posted about this yesterday. It's time to wonder whether or not he wouldn't have been better off just running as what he did in Massachusetts.
I was going to reference your great piece about can the Massachusetts moderate bail out Romney. I mean, this is the problem with having no core principles. You're right. He might have done better if he actually had been who he apparently authentically is, right?
Well, he certainly wouldn't have looked quite as ridiculous as he does now. Now, today he's got the op-ed talking about being a son of Detroit.
Oh, boy. All right.
Detroit's got enough problems.
Well, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this one. Rick Santorum has taken a large lead in Michigan's upcoming Republican primary. He's at 39% to 24% for Mitt Romney. Yeah. And as you say in your piece, this is a sentence I never thought I'd have to type, but if Willard Romney doesn't win the Michigan primary on February 28th, he likely will not be the Republican nominee for president.
I think that if he loses in Michigan, and remember, if he wins in Arizona, he's going to win at midnight, so nobody on the East Coast will know. So he'll have an entire night of Mitt Romney, George Romney's son, having lost Michigan. If that happens, I've got to think the powers that be in the Republican Party have got, the flops,
panic time.
You could take a shower in the flop sweat at that point.
Yeah. Well, you make some good points. You say he could laugh off Santorum's Minnesota, Colorado, Missouri triple play because no delegates were awarded in this bizarre Republican process. But if Santorum beats him in the state where his father was once governor, it's hard not to see how a genuinely radical reboot if the whole process doesn't begin spontaneously all over the country. And you mentioned the poll I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. that nationally Santorum's up by a whopping 15 points at the moment. Because all of Newt Gingrich's support is bleeding in his direction, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. They are coalescing. And, it never made any sense, given the nature of the Republican Party electorate, that this guy wouldn't, succeed at some point or another. He's their perfect candidate.
Yeah.
He's much more perfect for them than either Romney or Gingrich.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Santorum, of course, was seeping in Gingrich's direction in South Carolina, but now, your point is, and you're saying it's an open primary, right, in Michigan is what you're talking about? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, Democrats, if they want to make mischief, can cross party lines. And, of course, I don't know exactly, how you would sleep at night, even if you did it for fun,
Right.
Yeah.
Voting for a guy who, as Paul Krugman pointed out this week, last year was defending the Crusades.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wow. But this is, Romney reads your piece, his head's going to explode. Because as you say, what if Romney had not spent the last 7 years truckling to people who would do nothing but come to loathe him anyway? What if he'd held to his beliefs that gay people are human and that a woman's right to choose was really something of a settled issue? What if he'd run as a moderate he was in Massachusetts? What if he'd stood up for Romney care and challenged other people in the field? As you say, he tried to do it halfway, emphasizing his business background and the fact that he helped to create coalitions to govern Massachusetts. But, I mean, that's the incredible thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like that moment of, in Wizard of Oz, you could have gone home anytime you wanted to.
Oh, no.
Now a warning? I should have actually been the Massachusetts moderate that I am.
Now a warning?
I mean, he certainly shouldn't have run away from it as far as he did. I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, because he's not convincing anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Mitch, you could have gone home anytime you wanted to. Yeah.
You're running for the Republican Party. You're in the land of the little people now.
But and here's the other breaking news. In November, Mitt Romney was beating Obama among independent voters, 53% to 41%. Now those numbers are upside down. Obama topping Romney among independents, 51% to 42%. That's a net 19-point swing of independents in Obama's direction in 3 months. So Willard has really mucked all of this up, hasn't he?
He looked at what he thought he needed to do, and he did so much of it that he's lost himself completely now.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly do not believe he knows who he is as a politician.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah. Well,
and it's painful to watch. I mean, now he's, you know, like I said, he's got this bizarre op-ed in the paper today about being a son of Detroit, and then he goes to CPAC and talks about being a severe conservative, whatever that means.
Son of Detroit who wanted to destroy Detroit.
Right.
But I mean, now he's back to, you know, well, it was really my plan all along that the president adopted, and nobody believes that either. And, frankly...
He was against the auto rescue, so he was Eric and Lyle Menendez of Son of Detroit? Is that...
There we go.
Yes.
Wow.
Hey. That, you didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
I love when you I pull you into happy clappy land, but you're right, there's very little in the president's proposed budget to make me unhappy. Having just spent a weekend driving back roads and state highways between Tennessee and Kentucky, I can tell you this country actually needs a lot more spending on its infrastructure than he's proposing, but we can live to fight on that another day. By and large, I'm happy. Of course, it doesn't have a chance in hell of ever passing. The fools on the Hill are already in a Santorum over the proposals. I mean,
What I did there.
I saw what you did there.
Uh-huh.
But this is the problem. Is like you say, it's the America that we should be and the one that we actually are.
Hey, it's
with
a campaign
this current
document, and as a campaign document, I'm all in favor of it, you know?
Yeah. You say on the trail, the clown college has risen as one to condemn it. And my favorite description ever of Paul Ryan, you say zombie-eyed granny starver Paul Ryan is said to be working beaverishly on another plan to save Medicare by ending it entirely and spray-painting Medicare on the urn holding its ashes. I mean, that's the thing, Charlie. I don't mean to drag you entirely into happy clappydom, but is there a chance that not only, you know, will Obama win, but that, you know, there is going to be enough of a perfect storm to get more people in to do the things that you talk about in this column that Americans largely want done?
I don't know. I haven't really studied. I mean, I think the Republican majorities in state legislatures around the country have been working, you know, tremendously hard at guaranteeing Republican seats, so and suppressing Democratic votes at the same time. So I don't know what the impact will be on this cycle, but I cannot imagine the Republican Party is looking forward in down ticket races to going into the election with Rick Santorum at the top.
Oh, God,
I mean, I just, you know,
and I mean I can't believe again you and I are having this conversation, but honestly, if Michigan goes the way it looks like it's going, we really are talking about Rick Santorum. Republican nominee, and how?
We're talking about either that, or you're talking about fist fights at the state level. Because you know, when they get around to finally parsing out those delegates in Minnesota and Missouri and Colorado,
right?
The Romney people are going to have to steal them. I mean, or they're going to have to, or Ron Paul's going to have to get in there and start making mischief. Because otherwise, I mean, if they're rewarded based on who won the primaries, then that's a real problem.
Right. Well, I mean,
the NSA just. Yeah.
Oh,
cut off the
okay.
Wiretap.
That's okay. That's okay. I hope you're getting this all, NSA. I think that would be a landslide, wouldn't it, for Obama if it actually is Santorum?
I don't think the race would be even marginally competitive at that point. But who knows? I mean, you know, as somebody pointed out the other day, it looks almost like the Republicans have decided they're going to govern through the legislature. They're going to govern through intransigence in the House and govern through the state legislatures, and they don't really care who the president is as long as they can hamstring him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just like, we didn't want the White House anyway. You take it. It's not really that important. Legislatures are what's important.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it almost looks like that's the plan now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's given up.
President Schmesident.
Exactly. Wow. We never said we wanted that anyway.
presidency.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie, what was I going to say? This whole contraceptive, how do you think that played out? I mean, politically...
It seems to me that, I keep hearing that the president has brilliantly painted these people into a corner. They're not acting like they're in a corner.
Yeah.
They're tripling down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We've seen this before. They were told, look, don't press the impeachment of the president. They got whacked around in the 98 midterms. Mm-hmm. Don't impeach the president. They impeached the president.
Yeah.
Everybody told them to back off on Terry Schiavo. They never backed off on Terry Schiavo. And one of the prime meddlers in the Terry Schiavo case is now 15 points ahead of Mitt Romney nationally.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't stop. They do not take a step backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to say you've painted somebody in a corner if they don't recognize the fact they're in a corner.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like that guy in the paint commercial that just walks out and tracks paint, and they don't even know. They don't.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought, you know, Nishagu Nazad, which is what the Stalin told the Red Army when the Germans invaded, not one step backwards.
Yeah.
That's what these guys believe in.
Yeah, well, they've nailed down the 2% of Catholic women that don't use birth control, so that niche is
secure. There are 98% of Catholic women who use birth control and 2% who are liars.
There's the Santorum family.
Yes. All right.
How many kids does Peggy Noonan have? One. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You think that's all rhythmically? I don't think
I
so.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, that's not possible.
Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. Great stuff as usual.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Yay,
bye,
Charlie.
Honey. There he goes. Charlie Pierce. Yay. Yay. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
My singing would suck without auto-tuning.
No, actually, she can really sing.
I know she can.
Yeah.
But they can't help it. They just want to make everyone sound exactly the same.
No.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code Stephanie.
We couldn't live without it.
Okay. Timber in Detroit. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Timber.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
My wife and I love you, so happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you. Three-way. Okay.
And I want to be the official union thug of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm from Michigan. I'm from Detroit.
I believe you replace an 11-year-old from Madison as the official union thug of the Stephanie Miller Show, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, we have palm trees here.
Yes,
in Detroit,
yes,
so.
Yeah. Yes.
But in Michigan, it's a request. You have to register as a Republican or a Democrat when you pick up your ballot. So only the liars can request it. So I guess there won't be much crossover because, you know, we don't lie.
Yeah, well, you know, but there is scampery sometimes. That's mm-hmm. That's all I think Charlie was referring to. People that may want a frothy candidacy. And who doesn't like a nice frothy Santorum?
Yeah.
Hello, David in Massachusetts.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Look, on this Social Security issue, we should try to get the definitions right, and it's important for you on your talk show to say this.
Okay.
What is called the payroll tax is fakery. It's really the FICA tax or mm-hmm. the Social Security
FICA.
Tax.
Mm-hmm.
The Federal Income Insurance Act.
FICA.
And we
yes.
should never refer to it as a payroll tax because it gets people's minds away from the real issue of what's at stake. I personally think that the reduction in the FICA tax or Social Security tax FICA. Is not a good idea because if you reduce the taxes now, you're taking away benefits from a future date.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that. I just think in this economy, you know, we have to do it. We just do. You know,
yeah.
I think there's a difference between what the president's talking about in terms of reforming entitlements and what did Charlie Pierce call him? Zombie-eyed granny starver, Paul Ryan. His plan to destroy Medicare entirely.
There are two old grannies. You got to get rid of some of them.
Yeah. All right. Hey, looky here. Why? It was a long road back. President Obama now back in positive territory in our TPM poll average. The shift comes on the heels of a completed Iraq withdrawal, a legislative win on the payroll tax cut before Christmas, and perhaps most importantly, good economic numbers in January and early February. The president's numbers have jumped in the last few days, both in Gallup and Rasmussen tracking, as well as individual national polls.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, can I read some more from my future husband on Valentine's Day, Frank Schaefer, blogger?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When we hear that jobless numbers are going down faster than expected, that shoppers spent money over the holidays, that economic forecasts are being revised upward, that we are out of Iraq, that bin Laden is dead, that gays can serve in the military, that Wall Street and the banks are now under investigation, that a woman's right to choose is being protected, it's time for a reassessment of the president's critics. And no, I'm not saying the president is above rebuke when you think he's wrong, but fair rebuke is one thing. The endless drip, drip, drip of mindless disappointed negativity has been... that has been a hallmark, not just of Fox News, but has been found on progressive blogs, too, is another thing altogether. Enough already, or at least have the integrity to admit when you're wrong. The president keeps proving himself smarter than his detractors. More power to him. President Obama will win in 2012, and 4 years later, all that will be remembered about his critics is that they were impatient, deluded, and wrong. Given that that what was on his plate when he took office, and the fact that we're successfully struggling out of both recessions and two wars, and succeeding, President Obama is one of the best American presidents already. His second term will consolidate that verdict and bode greatness as his legacy. Frank Schaefer,
he's
writer, author, blogger.
Right, but I've said consistently the president has been doing things very, very right for the past few months.
I'm not talking about you.
Oh, okay. Him. Him, okay.
On Newsstream, you know who I'm talking about. All right. Hal Sparks could have written that, actually.
Yeah.
I thought Jim would have originally guessed Hal Sparks, but no.
The president has done a very, very good job in the past few months.
And it helps that the Republicans are asshats.
Well, yes. That helps as well.
That helps a great deal. They're always very helpful in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, for the people who are going, oh, he's a corporatist, the president's the same, oh, it's all the same. Wall Street likely to set records for political spending aimed at defeating Obama in 2012.
Of course.
Huh. So maybe Dodd-Frank has a little bit of teeth in it, maybe financial. The Center for Responsive Politics says they are likely to set records in 2012 on political spending, the bulk of which is aimed at defeating President Obama and electing Republicans opposed to the Dodd-Frank financial regulations enacted to address the sector's 2008 meltdown. It seems Wall Street has had its feelings hurt.
Aww.
As Mitt Romney said, it makes us sad. Oh, noes. I has a sad. Wall Street has its feelings hurt by the Obama administration's increasingly vocal support for policies that will benefit the other 99%. What? I has a sad. And as a result, the financial industry is giving heavily to Republicans, in particular to Mittens, which makes them happy.
I'd rather have Romney sad.
Bain Capital's people, my friend.
That was of a series of really inauthentic moments.
Yeah.
That was one of the most. Oh, he was talking about when Republicans criticize capitalism.
Yeah.
That makes us sad.
That makes us sad.
Makes us sad.
Who's
you
us?
Know,
other cold-hearted Republicans.
0.0001%.
Okay.
It gives us a sad. Bob in Chicago. Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Great show.
Thank you.
You know what? I was listening to you guys and you were talking about the Congress and, you know, the Republicans don't really care about the presidency, that they more likely want the Congress. And, yeah, because out here in Chicago, they're already running their ads, stopping Obamacare. We got a couple of congressmen here. Joel Walsh, the guy who skipped out.
Oh, that douche nozzle.
Not
yes.
The one from the Grammys.
Another guy,
no.
We got another guy, Robert Dole or something. Mm-hmm. They're running these Citizens United ads already in Chicago. And I don't know. I haven't seen any Democratic ads, any billboards or anything as far as the Democratic side. And I think that is their plan. We don't need the presidency. We need to keep the House, get the Senate back.
Yeah.
And then 4 years of just nothing again.
Yeah. No, I agree. I've been saying that over and over, Bob, is that we have got to get the presidents and people to work with them, to people who will get the stuff done that the large majority of Americans want done. Because I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but I think most people think the president's going to win re-election. It's just it's going to be more of the same if we don't get him, a Congress and Senate.
Helpers.
The helpers.
The elves. Yeah.
Well, we're helpers here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Get him some helpers, please. 58 minutes. Otherwise, I will has a sad.
Uh-oh. You've got a new saying that you're going to pound into,
run
the,
into
ground.
The ground.
Well,
yeah.
What?
I had a sad. Well, what?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Valentine's Day. I love you. 6 minutes after the hour.
Aww, I love you too.
Hi, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the listeners. 1-800-STEPH1.
Some of them. They know who they are.
No, all of them. All of them.
Really? Even Art?
Yes, Art and Chicago.
By Cracky?
Especially by Cracky.
John and Amherst?
Oh, God, yeah. Love him up the transit from my mama's hometown, Lakeport.
Valentine's Day is like a room full of black guys.
Yeah. What's not great about that? Okay. Uh-huh. SexyLiberal.com, the website SexyLiberal. On Facebook, some new pictures up. And what better way to say I love you on Valentine's Day? I love you to mama or to the sexy liberal in your life. Get some sexy liberal swag, the comedy album on iTunes or Amazon, or tickets, the best gift ever. Joyce in Chicago with an idea for sexy liberal. March 3rd, Chicago, tickets almost gone. Hurry. March 31st, Albuquerque, going very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Steph, first let me start by telling you how much I enjoyed Sexy Liberal last time you came to Chicago. Huge fan, listen every day. Yay.
Yay.
Now for my idea. Since the Tea Party has begun to decline, maybe you should change your demonstration portion of the show from teabagging to a Santorum Surge.
No.
Think along the lines of Gallagher when the front two or three rows had to watch out for splattering watermelon. But, of course, it wouldn't be watermelon. Maybe some sort of harmless, frothy, chocolate-derived substance mixed with some sort of creamy or marshmallow mixture. That might be fun. Just an idea. Mm. High-strung tour director Roland is probably... No!
No!
Lawsuits! No! Yeah. Yeah, that might be fun, except for the people in the first two rows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we have to pay a hell of a deposit for the mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to.
Not enough tarps in the world.
No.
Sorry, not enough tarp. Finally, I'd like to request the official fan whose middle name really is Louise of the Stephanie Miller Show, Joyce in Chicago, Joyce Louise.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce Louise, that's a bad idea.
My mom. His middle name is Louise.
Oh.
And Janice's mom's middle name is Louise.
Wow.
Wow. By the way, did we post up the new Aisha Tyler video that tends to make tickets fly out the window? She will be joining us one time only in Minneapolis, filling in for Hal.
The picture is up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, check it out. Tickets are probably going to be gone soon then for the May 12th. In Minneapolis. And then we've neglected to mention lately. Up next,
Progressive
after that.
Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's Historic Theater District. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Wicked hot.
Awesome!
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What was that?
I don't know. Timothy, right, staff, just what I mentioned, I attended the Athena Women's Film Festival at Barnard College Saturday night. They had a festival screening of Wish Me Away. It's the Shelley Wright documentary, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. It's brilliant. You laugh and cry. I agree. It is brilliant. There was a Q&A with the director, and your friendship with Shelley was mentioned in the Q&A. Don't forget, mention the June opening of the documentary in New York in Wish Me Away, the Shelley Wright documentary. It's awesome. All right. All right. By the way, so this man fight is getting better and better in the Clown College in the Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Paul and Frothy say Mitt cheated to win Maine and CPAC. Ron Paul...
Jeepers?
Yeah. Ron Paul campaign implies foul play in Romney victory in Maine. I don't even understand the Maine thing. Do you?
What?
Some people voted before.
Yeah, because there was a snowstorm or something.
Some people haven't voted yet.
Yeah.
Ron Paul says they're still going to win. I don't know.
Apparently you can't get that from
there. Snowstorms, you can't get that from there. Or anywhere.
Maybe in a week we'll learn that Ron Paul did win, like we did with Frothy in Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the Politico headline, Mitt bought CPAC. Mitt Romney's campaign in need of a boost, because remember they said, oh, caucuses don't matter, doesn't matter,
right.
Straw polls. After he lost three of them,
suddenly
they shelved their no straw polls policy and worked to win the CPAC vote. A Republican source confirms that Romney's camp bought registrations at CPAC to ensure their victory at the straw poll. Romney's effort to win the vote, first reported by Jeff Zellini, who wrote in the New York Times Saturday the campaign was busing students from colleges along the eastern seaboard to show their support. Santorum said you have to talk to the Romney campaign about how many tickets they bought. We've heard all sorts of things, adding that his campaign does not pay for supporters. because they can't afford it.
Right.
Santorum did, though, have individuals at the conference passing out stickers. Asked directly if they paid for registrations, a Romney spokesperson avoided the question. And then they said this was a good one. Rick Santorum has a history of making statements that aren't grounded in the truth. They've loaded the liar cannon against each other, even though they're both, oh, boys, don't fight. You're both big liars.
Lies! It's like you have to lie to live. Mm. You're a liabetic. You have liabetes.
Yeah.
Twice a day you have to take a shot of Insulin.
It was a sign of how much they feared the Mitt and the base stories that would have come with a CPAC loss, that apparently they dropped their strop hole thing and, you know, Mittens bought it, apparently. Mm-hmm. Frothy, talking about...
Campaigns who want to win go out and recruit people and provide, you know, free tickets to for them to come and vote. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's absolutely a strategy. We just don't think that's a good use of our resources. And but Governor Romney, obviously, may have a different idea.
I imagine Mitt's team is like, it's like that Bain commercial with just guys with dollar bills sticking out everywhere.
Yeah.
Hi, we're from Mitt's campaign.
Yeah.
How much might it cost us to get
dollar bills? Those are hundreds, my friend.
You want to ride somewhere?
All right. Oh, Attack Watch returns. Obama campaign announces the truth team. I love this. Mediaite says during the 2008 campaign, when then Senator Obama had to contend with rumors that he was everything from a secret Kenyan Muslim to a chupacabra,
right.
His campaign launched a website called Fight the Smears.
The chupacabra smear was popular in the Southwest.
Yes.
Yeah.
He could be. Prove that he's not.
Yeah.
Have you seen a chupacabra?
No. Rumor was all over New Mexico and Arizona.
Hmm. In 2012, that effort has transformed into the Truth Team, a three-pronged effort to push back on attacks against the president, highlight his own record, and pick apart opponents' statements about their own records. It's Attack Watch. The site's existence is at least in part the result of the political news media's habit of letting Republicans repeat unchallenged, bald falsehoods about the president's record. One great example of this is Mitt Romney's constant refrain the president made the recession worse, punctuated by the occasional denial that he ever said that, and the occasional admission that the economy isn't that getting better.
Right.
Yes, he accidentally said that on Laura Ingraham's show.
Yeah. And Laura Ingraham kind of took him to task for that. Are you sure you want to say that?
No. Our candidates suck. Okay.
Do we know for a fact that Mitt wasn't born in Mexico?
No.
No? Ooh. I demand to see his birth certificate.
Mitt Romney's father, Mexican or chupacabra? Just asking. Mormon or chupacabra?
Who can say?
Who can say?
Let's ask his dad, Jose.
We report, you decide.
Exactly my point. Well, there's an unfortunate headline. Son allegedly punched by mom during anger management class.
No.
Oh, that didn't take.
In the throat?
That didn't take.
In the throat?
I don't know. That's my preferred place to punch you, so you can talk less. Yeah.
That's one way of managing anger, is to punch somebody.
Yes.
No.
Oh, dear.
Probably not the preferred way in an anger management class.
No.
Probably. It's just our favorite fun stack, is people going berserk in anger management classes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just go berserk.
In a way, they are dealing with their anger issues. They're just, you know.
Not the way that's...
Not in a constructive way.
Right.
No.
In a way that proves the point that they need to be in anger management classes.
Yes.
Indeed. All right.
Wouldn't do it by knocking someone unconscious.
Okay. All right. Oh, pardon me. I just coughed up a little piece of lung.
Did you press your cough button?
Excuse me. Yeah, that's what made me cough.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do that.
She needs a GAC button.
GAC. All right. The president talking about his new budget and the Buffett rules.
That's just common sense. Because Warren Buffett's doing fine. I'm doing fine. We don't need the tax breaks. You need them. You're the ones who've seen your wages stall. You're the one whose costs of everything from college to groceries has gone up. You're the ones who deserve a break.
Typical liberal calling for tax.
The
what?
President admitting he's rich. Nobody likes a rich chupacabra. All right.
Do they issue bank accounts to chupacabras?
If you have an ID, they do.
All right, the president.
We can restore an economy where everybody gets a fair shot, everybody does their fair share, everybody plays by the same set of rules.
Communism.
Yeah. It's chupacabra socialism. That's exactly what it is. Obama.
At a time when our economy is growing and creating jobs at a faster clip, we've got to do everything in our power to keep this recovery on track.
Shh. Quiet. Shut up. It's getting worse.
Senator Mitch McLipless on the president's new budget.
This is a charade. A charade.
The only question is when this president's own refusal to lead will catch up to all the rest of us.
I'm not very good at charades, as I don't have fingers.
You know, if I were Yertle, I wouldn't be talking about catching up to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Because you're not moving very fast legislatively or any other way.
Slow and steady wins over.
At least we're not talking about having sex like we did last hour.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Thank you.
It's Valentine's Day. For some reason, different naked people pop into my head and what their Valentine's Day is like Mrs. McConnell.
I tend to stay in my shell. And avoid physical contact.
What does he look like when he takes his shell off? That's all I'm saying.
Wow! Whoa! I didn't need that mental picture. Good
don't
golly.
You wish, is the prankster side of me that when Mitch McConnell comes out and says, this is a charade, I wish the president would just come out and say, Senator McConnell, one first word,
two syllables.
Yeah.
Book or film?
Just me. Senator John Barrasso, Republican, Wyoming.
It's not debt on arrival, it's debt on arrival. And that's what we're seeing. Is, the president, this is an ambush an ambush budget.
Ambush budget, really? By proposing...
How can you be ambushed if you're expecting it to come out?
It's in the 70%, I think, of the American people would like the rich to pay their share. Give money to infrastructure, which create jobs.
Yeah, that's an ambush.
Ambush. Exactly.
That's the very dictionary definition of ambush.
Excuse me? 18 minutes.
What?
Sorry. I thought you were talking about McConnell again. Okay, 18. Well, I got to tell you, if it's for my show. What?
Sorry.
Hello?
Sorry.
18 minutes after. Don't play me over me.
Well.
Even I don't like that much of me.
Oh, come 18, on. Why not?
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, is Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks? Hump Days with Hal Sparks, we think. We hope. Okay.
Sure.
It should be. He's been a very busy boy lately.
Yes, he has.
Hopefully he will be in. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Tony in Tampa. Hey, Tony.
Hi.
Hi.
I always hear people talking about, the rich not paying their fair share, and people get upset with the people who make a lot of money. But if it's legal and they're doing it the correct way, people need to be upset at the government for allowing it. And
which is what we're trying to change.
Right. That's what everybody's been saying, Tony, is nobody blames Mitt Romney. What's wrong is that he's paying 14%.
Right.
And you and I are likely paying much higher.
He should pay the same percentage that we all pay.
Okay. And then what's that percentage? What should the rich pay?
Well, Ronald Reagan, it was, Jim? I can't even, I have to look specifically, but much, much higher than that. High 30s.
I'd be happy if he paid 30% like the rest of us.
Yeah. It was high 30s, I believe, under Reagan. I can check that.
Well, okay. As long as someone has a number, that can be debated. But again, I hear people talking
about under Republican President Dwight Eisenhower, it was about 70%.
Yeah. So it's much lower than us.
Yes, that Reagan lowered it, but 90, low meant closer to 40%. So how is it historically fair that people like Mitt Romney are paying 14% now? You don't think that has anything to do with the deficits?
Well, I don't know. I do know that I make about $30,000 a year, and I'm self-employed, so I do pay about 30% because I end up getting hit with
So why shouldn't Mitt Romney pay that same 30% instead of 14%?
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I do agree with that.
Well, then there we go.
As long as it doesn't go above, I think if everyone's paying the same, I still think someone's going to say, now that Romney still has, $200 million left over, and I think they're going to want to tax him higher. I think fair is the only way to be fair is to be, I think, equal. And I think some people
don't
want equal.
Is not the same for you. Equal is not if you and Mitt Romney both, you know, I mean, equal would be if you and Mitt Romney are both paying 30, not I mean, you're paying you're, 30, he's paying 14.
Right. No. If we pay the same, I think that's fair.
I actually think he's agreeing with us here.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get out while I'm
here. Yay, Tony.
See? I thought I would always get out when things are going that well. See, I might be with a man today.
I highly doubt that.
No. I kid. Okay. Vicki in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Vicki.
Oh, my God. I'm like flabbergasted. I'm on your show.
Oh, my God. Me too.
I got to admit, during the break, I switched over to the local public radio station, and they had an interview with a couple that just recently were making over $100,000 a year. And are now living in the storm sewers under Las Vegas with about 400 other people in the same street. Mm. And I'm like, you know, I love the humor. I am so in need of the humor. But, like, this just isn't funny anymore. You know, I look at my family and I think, what happens if I'm in that boat with trying to keep a roof over my head with my kids? And right now I'm okay.
Yeah. No, trust me. Vicki, I don't think in this economy anybody's immune. I was out of work for 2 years before I got this show. And trust me, you know when you're in that can't sleep thing at night? I started thinking about two or three things that were going to happen in a domino effect that would lead to pretty much everything being, yeah. And it could happen to anybody. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean. It's just, the thing is we start losing our humanity. There's no words for this.
Yeah.
The situation
yeah.
that we're in, and mm-hmm. you've got these guys with plenty of bucks, and they don't seem to care about anybody else, and they don't understand.
Well, you know what's more obnoxious, Vicki, is someone trying like Mitt Romney, who obviously never had any idea and never will have any idea what it's like to be a normal person in this mm-hmm. country, and trying to pretend that he does. That he, oh, I was afraid of a pink slip, and oh, I, you
oh,
know.
I'm unemployed too, my friend.
Yeah, I'm unemployed, and oh, please.
I'm sitting on a gajillion dollars, but I'm unemployed.
Yeah, I made some.
Unlike you.
I made some that's speaking, not much. Only $400,000.
That's like lunch money.
Yeah, exactly. Ken, my right-wing love muffin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good.
I just thought to let you know that Santorum's going to win a nomination. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I was a Romney supporter until he came out with the stupid statement saying, oh, we're just going to raise the retirement age. Uh-huh. Sure you are, pal. That's okay for a millionaire who only pays 15% of his taxes. But for somebody like me who works 16 hours a day, 300 days a year, that isn't the good news that I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, it just showed me he just says it without thinking about it, without thinking about what are the consequences, what are other people going to feel about that. It just showed me that he's not really in touch with what's going on with working people.
No, he's not. And, Ken, there's something in it for both of us, because I think Rick Santorum could lose to the president by as many points as he lost to Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. And then we'll
I don't know about that. I think Rick could carry Pennsylvania. I think
you do? That may be the only state.
Even though he lost by 30
points? That may be the only state. And the really good news for me, my dad in Goldwater was golden! Golden! How awesome would that be? Frothy only carries Pennsylvania. And barely.
I don't even think he could carry Pennsylvania.
He didn't last time.
Right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It feels like fever.
It's a
nothing feels like fever.
Sorry, what?
What?
Huh?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Tom in North Carolina. Hi, Tom. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
How you guys doing?
Good.
So I saw you guys in Durham when you came in Durham. Great show. Loved
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
I wondered if you guys, and especially you and Chris, Stephanie, if you could clarify your position about what you're saying about paying taxes. It almost sounded like you were saying that you support a flat tax.
No,
we were saying the opposite. So the guy who called in said he makes $30,000 a year. He pays about 30%, and we were talking about Mitt Romney pays 14%. How is that fair?
Yes.
Fair. But you were saying if, as long as Romney pays 30% and you guys pay 30%, that was fine with you. And that's a flat tax.
No, we were saying that we were saying that
category.
No,
we were saying that Romney should be higher. We were saying that Romney should be higher and be closer to what we're paying now.
Right. Well, I mean, we're talking about basically what the president talked about in his budget, the Buffett rule. That
exactly.
People making that kind of money should be paying at least 30%.
Well, the more money you make, the more sneaky ways you have.
Exactly. There are loopholes and all of that. Kurt in Santa Clarita on the same subject. Hi, Kurt.
Oh, good morning. You guys are great.
Thank you.
I just kind of want to, in a way, echo what the guy said. Not that I think that you were supporting a flat tax, but what a lot of people forget is that the rich, you know, Mitts and folks like that, make their money on what you know is called the commons. They they use more of the airports.
Yes.
They use more of the trains.
Yes.
And they should pay more.
I'm on that. Well, I've said this before. I'm on that plan because I would pay zero then because I don't go anywhere. I don't use, I'm such an elderly, shut-in loser. I don't do anything.
Sexy liberal show.
Yeah.
But
you use the FAA.
That's the
there.
Only time I leave. Okay. Just saying. Otherwise, I have like a grandmother's like mileage on my car.
But the real problem is that passive income is taxed at a much lower rate than actual income by people who work for a living.
Exactly. Drew in New Mexico on the same subject. Hi, Drew.
How are you guys doing? Happy
Good.
Valentine's Day. I love you.
I love you. Go ahead.
Love you more. Oh, no, it's sounding like Randy now. I've been at ground zero of what's going on as a mortgage broker for the last 5 years, and I have to agree with the gal living in the storm sewer under Las Vegas. It's not funny anymore. You guys are, but it's not.
Yeah.
And what people forget when they say, like the guy with the flat tax idea, when they say it's the government, what they forget is that it's the people that bought and paid for and own the government that have created everything to their advantage. And, of course, they're taking advantage of it because they made it this way. So let's not blame the government. Let's blame the people that buy the government.
Okay. All right. Good point. Okay. Rocky in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rock.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I also disagree that Romney should pay the same federal income tax as somebody making $50,000 or $100,000 because he's still paying way less in the total tax burden as all the rest of us, with all between payroll tax, state, local, and federal fees, and all the other taxes.
Well, and as Jim said, it's the loopholes. I mean, for instance, would you have any idea, because I wouldn't, how one might get a Swiss bank account or put their money in the Cayman Islands? I would have no idea where to start with that.
No.
Do you Google that? Do you call what information? What do you?
Plus, his mortgage interest tax write-off has got to be astronomical for those 18 houses he has.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Look, it's a dumb stack. This is, well, at least this gave me some idea how Newt Gingrich could have won South Carolina. Almost one-third of South Carolinians have no idea who Joe Biden is.
Wow. Is that a symptom of their education system?
Nearly
or?
30% of South Carolinian adults could not accurately identify who the current Vice President Joe Biden is. Almost one-quarter couldn't remember who the vice president is. 3.3% supplied the incorrect name, and 3% named Dick Cheney.
Do they still think they're part of the Confederacy in South Carolina? Is that the word not get down there?
And in other news, two Alabama Tea Party candidates run on the platform of impeaching Obama. At least they're honest. That's it. That's their whole plan. That's
based
it.
Under
on
yep.
what?
What?
They don't. You know, they're fuzzy on grounds exactly.
Oh, okay.
On account of he's a Kenyan Muslim atheist Nazi communist from Mars.
Yep. Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
And some other things we'll think of later.
A chupacabra.
A chupacabra.
Okay. Bill and Madison. I'm sorry. Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. It's our anniversary today. Headed to the Capitol. We've got a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Okay.
Say, when these people that make $30,000 a year call in and say that, well, what they're doing isn't illegal, I question some of the legality of the things that they do. But how about ethically and morally for a small percentage of people to deny you rights and opportunities so that they, the 1%, can enjoy it all for themselves? I mean, wake up, people. What it is it's very disgusting, and we aren't envious of these people. We pity them. They are the scourge of the earth.
All right. Wow. All right. Yes. So out here in L.A., obviously, the Beverly Hills Police made a statement finally about Whitney Houston yesterday.
We have not ruled anything out. As of right now, it's not a criminal investigation. We have concluded our portion of the investigation at the hotel. We have a team of investigators that are specifically assigned to this case. But as of right now, in this state, it's a coroner's case.
I think it was TMZ reporting. They believe early reports are a combination of Xanax and alcohol and perhaps some other. But, you know, the other thing people were saying, is, again, it's prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, yeah.
There was also amoxicillin found nearby.
Which, antibiotic, yeah.
Yeah. And ibuprofen.
But anyway, that was, we were talking yesterday, that it was pretty awful that they wouldn't let her daughter in to see, but we were saying because they didn't know if it was a crime scene I guess. Yeah. But yeah, then her daughter was hospitalized. They're saying family members are fearing that she's suicidal, which would be, again, tragedy on tragedy. The president, press secretary Jay Carney released a statement claiming Obama's thoughts and prayers are with Whitney Houston's family, especially her daughter. Mm-hmm. Ed Winter, official chief coroner of L.A. County.
You can look at a body and not know what the cause of death is. You might have a suspicion, but the person could have suffered a heart attack or an embolism or something. And no matter what medications they're taking, until we run a tox and see the level and what's in the system, we're not going to speculate.
By the way, so Tony Bennett caused some controversy. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. You know, at the pre-party, the Clive Davis right. party the night before, he called for drug legalization in the wake of Whitney Houston's death, which, again, then people were like, but that she didn't die of, you know.
It was prescription. They were legal drugs.
Right. Yeah. He used the opportunity to ask that the U.S. government reevaluate its stance on drugs. He said first it was Michael Jackson, then that was prescription. It was under a doctor's care, but right. not no. properly, obviously. A
doctor's care.
Yeah, quote-unquote, air quotes. Yeah. First it was Michael Jackson, then Amy Winehouse, now the magnificent Whitney Houston. I'd like every person in this room to campaign to legalize drugs. Let's legalize drugs like they did in Amsterdam. No one's hiding or sneaking around corners to get it. They go to a doctor to get it. Well, that's the problem. You know, and also Amy Winehouse, it was alcohol poisoning.
Well,
so that's
also in Amsterdam, you don't go to a doctor to get your hashish. You go to a coffee shop.
Right. Right.
So,
I heard from various people out here that was kind of an awkward. It was a little bit of an awkward party because when Tony Bennett said that, I think it was Diane Warren, the songwriter, mm-hmm. was saying it was sort of awkward because it was, you know, obviously prescription stuff. And then also I think there was a rapper that was saying let's party for Whitney because Whitney loved to party, and it was just The hearse has arrived. The hearse under heavy police escort arrived at a funeral home in Jersey, where, of course, she's from. Yeah, one of the people they interviewed there, I think that was what's hard. He said, we lost somebody who I thought for all her troubles was coming back. Yeah. You know, she just, you know, you always, that's the thing is you can say you're not shocked because of all the years of this, except that you go, you know, she'd just done a film and you always root for a comeback. Particularly when it's somebody that, you know, has touched your life or that you...
And she gave a few interviews lately where she looked completely lucid, you know, like she was having fun, like she was, you know, very normal, like the old Whitney Houston.
And
so it's just sad that she
We were saying it depends on, you know, how certain songs or music touched your life. At what as I was saying, she's... And stop bringing it up. She's only 2 years younger. She's my age, basically. Wow. I interviewed her when she was getting big, you know, back in New York when I was a baby DJ. And I just remember her as being really funny and full of life. And so, you know, it just, I think the whole thing was sad. But, my embryonic girlfriend, who is 17 years younger, she was a little girl. So she actually, her best friend in Chicago, their older sister left the funniest message. She goes, remember how I used to sing to you two? I believe children are the future. So they
were children when that song came out.
Wow.
Yes. So that was her memory of, but, you know, she was a little girl, you know, used to sing in the hairbrush and pretend she was Whitney Houston and stuff, you know. Anyway, all right, and I was already a bitter old hag. So my point is...
Were you in radio at that point?
Yes, I was
you?
A baby DJ on Hot 97. Yes.
I remember when I saw Irving Berlin at the Biograph. No,
at the Biograph.
We had something else in common. She was apparently dating a guy 17 years younger.
Really?
Well, that's
not Ray J.
Yeah.
So many similarities. Yeah. It's
you know who Ray J is, right?
He's a sure. No, he's
he's Brandy's brother. B,
right.
He was
R&B singer and reality star.
He was in that sex tape with Kim Kardashian.
Oh, dear.
That's how he became big.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So maybe her taste in men didn't improve. Oh dear. Lady Gaga, by the way, did you see, they were saying, that didn't even register for me, but they were saying she was dressed all in black with the veil, that maybe it was honoring Whitney Houston or whatever.
I just think she looked like a ham that was...
Excuse me?
You know, you see the netting over the ham in the grocery store? That's what it looked like to me.
She kissed Paul McCartney through the netting, ham did.
Oh, thanks very much. I needed that sort of marking on the face.
It's hard to kiss through mesh.
Yeah. And she was sitting next to those country stars. I think it was Miranda Lambert. And they were like, the pictures, they were like, really?
I got Gaga on me.
What's wrong with ye? Why aren't you dressed normal?
All right. Some Adele fun facts when we return and much more. 45 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa. Awesome. Totally awesome. All right.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't be fancy, just get dancing. Why so serious? Show me some magic, you are mad. In all the right ways, on my underdog. We will never be anything but loud. And nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. So right
away from the don't get fancy, just get fancy.
Get fancy.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Pink.
Yeah.
I can't tell. They all sound the same for the auto tuning.
I love this song.
Could be Katy Perry for all.
I love it. Love it.
It kind of sounds like Katy Perry, doesn't it?
Love it. Oh, don't you come after my Katy Perry. It is so on.
I mean, I like Katy Perry.
Well,
for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, you like her assets.
Yeah, you're right in all the wrong ways. Yeah. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1, do the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Hey, not everybody, what do you call it, is a dum-dum in the South. What was it, South Carolina poll? A third? Don't know who Joe Biden is. Really? Really. Obama's Rebound Virginia edition, how's about that? Quinnipiac, first time they've done an Obama-Romney matchup. Mm-hmm. Voters favor the president. Independents favor him 45-41%.
Happy news.
Although now it may be frothy, so who knows?
I know.
I'm so excited about that.
You know what, though? Frothy might rile up the base.
Yeah.
You know, if Romney goes, I don't know that the base would be all that excited to go out and vote for him. So,
No.
So either one, we have to be really careful with.
I know, just think how entertaining the campaign will be.
I know, but we can't, you know, celebrate victory with either one of them.
No, of course not.
Until Election Day.
All right. Mm-hmm. By the way, some fun facts about Adele, who swept the Grammys. And by the way, even though she beat me for Best New Tour in the Pollstar Awards, I'm very happy for her. Wish only the best for her. Mm-hmm. Honored to be nominated.
I wish only the best for you.
She's only 23. Isn't that great?
And yeah.
Good for her.
Wow, she's and your voice less than recovery. Half your age.
Wow.
She said no band served as greater inspiration for her than, wait for it, the Spice Girls.
Oh, really?
She loved them from the age of 7. Yeah, that's another age thing.
She's a much better singer than any of them.
Yes. I tell you what I really, really want. Someone that can actually sing.
I was well out of college when the Spice Girls hit. Oof.
Okay. Wow, you know, Charlie Pierce said this earlier. The GOP, they really are. Even when they're wrong and public opinion is against them, they double down.
Mm-hmm.
The contraception compromise, even, you know, some Republican senators are for. Susan Collins and blah, blah, blah. The major Catholic group came out in support. GOP ups the ante, introduces legislation to allow any employer to deny preventative health service. How about that? Yeah, some Republicans and conservatives, some conservative Catholic groups not satisfied with the accommodation and hopes to use the false claim of religious persecution. There's that again, to deny women access to preventative health services. Roy Blunt, Republican Missouri, expected to offer an amendment that would permit any employer or insurance plan to exclude any health service, no matter how essential, from coverage, if they morally object to it. How about that slippery slope?
He's been smoking too many blunts, apparently.
I think so. Hello.
Oh, boy.
Under the measure, insurer or an employer would be able to claim a moral or religious objection to covering HIV/AIDS screenings, type 2 diabetes, cancer tests, or anything else they deem inappropriate or the result of an unhealthy or immoral lifestyle. What?
Who's going to determine?
Similarly, a health plan that could refuse to cover mental health care on the grounds that the plan believes that psychiatric problems should be treated with prayer.
Oh.
Individuals, too, can opt out of coverage if it's contrary to their religious or moral beliefs, radically undermining the basic principle of insurance, which involves pooling the risk for all possible medical needs of all enrollees.
Wow. Talk about mental health.
Yeah. So,
that's great.
Golly, thank God my insurance covers mental health.
Wow.
Does it?
Yikes.
Really?
Yeah. Check into it. You work with me. You're going to need it.
Wow, I could have used that a long time ago. Why didn't you say something sooner?
Wow. What kind of cool antidepressants could I be on?
Catholic leaders say providing birth control to people in need raises serious moral concerns.
Blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
You know, it seemed like that would be a moral concern to not provide birth control to people in need, but okay.
If you want more abortions, not providing birth control to people is a great way to make that happen.
Mm. Mm. Somebody pointed out, given the outrage, you'd think Obama's plan required a collection plate full of condoms to be passed around at church. That's probably how they reported it on Fox.
Condoms and Viagra.
Oh, here's something that ticks me off. Who did this? Media Matters, I believe. By a nearly 2-to-1 margin, cable network called on men over women to comment on birth control.
Yeah.
During the Monday through Thursday, the leading cable news channels invited almost twice as many men as women onto their shows to discuss.
They should discuss menstruation and childbirth too.
Yeah,
since they're the experts.
Yeah, except that icks men out.
Well, yeah,
menstruation discussion.
I don't want to see Sean Hannity talking about tampons.
No, you know, I think that these are more absorbent because
are the Super Plus immoral technically? Why does she need them so big?
Big Morris talking about tampons.
So a tampon wants to do a bar.
Guess who thinks it is a good idea? Physicians. Over 650 physicians speak out in favor of contraception ruling.
What do they know?
Women and their doctors should be allowed to make contraceptive decisions based on medical reasons and personal beliefs, not based on someone else's religious doctrine.
That's commie claptrap.
I'm not doing the rest of the study. You get the idea.
Study should have quotation marks around it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, I'm the one that brought up the boner pills. Just saying. How come nobody, that's sacred, I tell you what. The relationship between a man and his doctor, that is not... Get your government nose out of my...
Get your bony gem brewer finger out of my...
Out of my business.
That's right.
Out of my erection business. I'm going to get my waterfall and my...
my dual bathtubs
however I can. All right. Oh, wow. Here's a shock. The indoor tanning industry backs boner. Their political action committee has contributed $5,000 to House Speaker John Boner's campaign account and $5,000 to the Boner for Speaker Committee. Boner no doubt earned their gratitude with his staunch opposition to inclusion of tanning salon taxes in the Affordable Care Act.
Wow.
And also
really?
the fact that he is completely orange and clearly a walking billboard
for their industry.
Business.
Tanning beds and bourbon.
Could be both that make him orange. Who can say?
Sure.
Hey, speaking of PACs, dozens of Romney donors evade contribution limits through super PAC donations.
Huh.
It's weird. It's almost like a different set of rules for really rich people. Hmm. Restore Our Future has already spent a stunning $17 million on expenditures attacking Romney's primary opponents.
And wonder how many of them have offshore bank accounts in the Caymans.
How about this? Republicans to start to unite around a call to allow billionaires and corporations to directly fund campaigns. They don't think Citizens United's gone far enough.
Wow. Oy.
Yeah. 8 in 10 Americans believe too much money in American politics. Only 17% agree with the Citizens United decision, yet top Republicans coalescing around the idea that current campaign finance laws, which still prohibit corporations and wealthy individuals from giving unlimited money to directly to campaigns, are actually too restrictive.
Maybe a corporation should become president.
Yeah.
A giant conglomeration.
Why not? And why not?
Well, that's it. Almost what we have now.
That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Crystal Boy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.